Yes, sir. All right. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I can't think of a better place to be than right here. Amen. And thank God the Lord found us and He saved us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I know the church won't save your soul, but I'll tell you this, it sure will save your life. Amen. Jesus will save your soul. But this place right here, this place will save your life. Amen. You get saved and you stay out of the world and you rebel against the Word of God, the man of God, the church of God, your life will go in a downhill spiral right down, amen, back to the where the Lord found you. And you ought to just get rooted right here. This is a good place to be. You got your King James Bible. Turn to Luke in chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. And you mentioned any of these things and the fellows that have nothing else better to do than to troll all of these church services across the United States, amen, they'll take things that you say and try to make you look like a fool, but really they're the fools.
Right?
They're the fools. And I like the way we do it better than the way they don't do it.
Amen.
Thank God we have a Bible this morning. And I don't have to wonder where the words of God are. We got them right here this morning. Amen. No apologies at all. Thank God for the King James Bible that God gave to us. Amen. If He's big enough to inspire His words, He's big enough to preserve them. Amen. And give them to us right now. We have a Bible. Make no apologies. I'm glad about it. Amen. Thank God for the Bible this morning. Even the Bible itself, this Bible, God gave us His King James Bible in 1611. Would you agree with me? Even your King James Bible, the chapter in Psalms that deals with the Bible, the Word of God, is Psalm 119. Would you agree with me this morning?
Yes, sir.
Psalm 119 agrees with the Word of God. It is the Word of God's commentary on the Word of God.
Yes, it is.
It just so happens that the Book of Psalms in chapter 119 has 176 verses in it. You can look it up yourself. This King James Bible was given to us in 1611. If you can do math, simple math, amen, middle school math, 16 times 11 equals 176.
How about that?
I'm telling you, and they say, well, you can't, you know, that's not in the Bible, and amen. I tell you, there's too many coincidences that God's given to us. You know what those are? Those are just thumbprints.
That's what it is.
Amen. God's fingerprints on here letting us know, hey, you've got the book this morning, amen, if you got a King James Bible. I know the debate's over, but I'm fired up. Amen. Luke 16. This morning, I woke up at about 3:45. Amen. I used the restroom. And the Lord wouldn't let me go back to sleep for about an hour because I had the service this morning on my heart and mind and praying and asking the Lord to show me what to preach. And I have messages I enjoy preaching. Every preacher does, but there's also something called the will of God. Amen. And God knows what we need to preach and who we need to preach it to. And this is the message that the Lord put on my heart this morning. And I preached this message two other times, and both times the Lord saved some people in the service. And so maybe God has somebody on their radar, His radar this morning. I don't know. I'm not God and I'm not here to say who's saved and who's lost. But I will say this morning that this is a very serious passage of Scripture. And let's read it this morning and then we'll preach a little bit from this chapter. Luke chapter number 16, verse number 19. The Bible says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." And the Bible says here in verse 23, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments." I want you to notice the words that God chooses to use in your King James Bible. In verse number 23, the Bible says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes." All of your new Bibles say, in Hades. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never told someone to go to Hades when I got mad at them. Amen. There's just not much punch to it. Bible says, and in hell, he lift up his eyes. Notice the word lift.
Yep.
The new Bible says he lifted. Which tells us it was something that happened in the past, but it's no longer happening right now. But the King James Bible says, hey, he lifted up his eyes then, and right now, as I'm preaching to you this morning, he's still in hell lifting up his eyes this morning. You say the words don't matter. They matter. Amen. They matter this morning. He lifts up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, Lord, I pray, God, that if there's one here that's lost without Jesus Christ, Father, I pray the precious, sweet Holy Ghost would walk up and down the aisles and through these pews. And God, that you'd stop, Lord, at that individual, Lord, that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to see the reality of the place that we'll preach about this morning, that place, that literal place, that real place called hell this morning. Father, I pray, God, that you'd help me to be faithful, Lord, to preach what you'd have me to preach. Put the words in my mouth. Lord, you said if we'd open our mouth, you'd fill them, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would do it this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd make it easy to preach. God, I pray for liberty. I pray for oil. I pray for unction. And God, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Ghost, God, would draw sinners to Calvary. And then those of us that are saved by the grace of God, Lord, remind us, Lord, of that awful place that you saved us from, God. And help us, Lord, with a burdened heart to be burdened for those of our family and friends that are lost without God that are going to this place if we don't tell them, if we don't pray for them, Father. And God, I pray, God, your will and way would be done this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of three things in hell that you need. Three things this morning in hell that you need this morning. And by means of just getting right into the message, I'll cut out the introduction for sake of time this morning. I want to say, number one, the first thing in hell that you need this morning is you need a reality check. You need this morning a reality check. Look, if you will, in verse number 19 and verse number 20 this morning of our text, the Bible says here that there was a certain rich man. In verse number 20, the Bible says that there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Notice here that this story that we just read in the Word of God, this is not a parable. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a fictitious amen story that the Lord Jesus Christ is telling. But I'm telling you this morning that you need a reality check this morning, because there is a literal, real place called hell this morning as I preach to you. The Bible says there was. And if there was, amen, there still is this morning. This is a true story, and God's people this morning and lost people this morning, they need a reality check this morning. So many people are living in fairy tale world. Amen. They don't know what the God's honest truth is this morning. But I say hell this morning is beneath us right now. Just below your feet this morning. 7 miles below your feet. Where you stand this morning is a real, literal place called hell, where men, women, boys, and girls will burn if they reject the grace of God. Listen, even the public schools teach when they're teaching science that hell is in the heart of the earth. They don't know what they're talking about, amen. But they talk about the earth and how the outer place here is called the crust, and then below the crust is the mantle, and below the mantle is the core of the earth. I say this morning, in the core of the earth, in that place in the middle of the earth is a place called hell. That even the science books teach that the heart of the earth is 10,800 degrees Fahrenheit. Listen, dear sinner friend, that's as hot as the surface of the sun. The Bible says that old prophet Amos said, though they dig into hell. You say, where's hell? It's just right beneath your feet this morning. Listen, some of you this morning, you're closer to hell than you are to Salisbury. You're closer to hell than you are to Kannapolis this morning. I'm telling you, some of you need a reality check this morning. And you say, what's in hell? I say, the wicked are going to hell this morning. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. You know, it's amazing to me that there's people out there that believe you can make your way to heaven by doing good works, and you can work your way to heaven. But listen, the same people that believe that, their whole life they lean towards hell. They lean towards hell. They lean towards hell. And then for some reason they think they can die and go to heaven. Listen, I'm telling you, those people that lean towards hell all their life and think they can die and go to heaven, they've been duped by the devil this morning, and they need a reality check this morning. The wicked are going to hell. They're going to hell this morning. Sir Francis Newport, the head of the English Infidel Club, said on his deathbed, he said these words, "You need not tell me that there is no hell." He said, "For I already feel my soul slipping into its fires." He said, "Wretches cease your idle talk about there being hope for me. I know I am lost forever," as he slipped off into eternity. I'm telling you, Sir Francis Newport knew he was an infidel, but when it came time to die, he knew there was a place called hell, because hell was licking at his feet, and hell was grabbing at his soul, and he already saw his face there in the place called hell. The wicked are going to hell.
Yeah, they are.
I say there's always going to be people going to hell this morning.
Hell.
You say, when can we stop preaching on it? Never.
Right.
There's always going to be a place called hell, because people are always going to be going to hell. Listen, 4 people go to hell every second. While I'm preaching this morning, every second that ticks by, 4 people slip off into eternity. Proverbs 27 verse 20 says, hell and destruction, they're never full. Hell and destruction are never full this morning. There's always going to be people going to hell. Hell is an eternal, fiery, bottomless pit this morning. The Bible says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Peter said it this way, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. I'm just saying there is a real place called hell, and some of you this morning need a reality check.
Listen now.
Hell's getting bigger every single day. Every single day, hell's getting bigger. Listen, you'll say, why is it getting bigger? It's making room for more souls. Because it's never full. Every time we hear about the earthquakes taking place on the earth, and every time we hear about a volcano erupting and belching out the earth's inhabitants there, the contents of the earth, that molten fire and that brimstone, that sulfur, I'm telling you, the Bible says, therefore hell, in Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. I say, some of you this morning need a reality check. Because there is a place called hell. And there's somebody in here. Listen, a crowd this size, somebody in here is going to hell this morning.
Right.
And I believe with all my heart, that's why God woke me up. Amen. And put this message on my heart, because I pray, Lord, show me. Lord, show me. Lord, show me. God, I've got messages I like to preach. Amen. Listen, I don't necessarily enjoy what I'm preaching this morning.
Absolutely not.
Amen. I'm not having fun. No. Somebody said, man, every now and then you get to have fun preaching. This is not fun, friend. This is a serious thing this morning. But it's what God called us to do, as your preacher said. It's what a watchman does as he sees the souls of men slipping off into eternity. And people living in a fictitious world. Amen. People need to know how they need to have a reality check this morning, because there's a place called hell. Reality check this morning. Number two. You know the second thing some of you need in hell? Not only reality check, but some of you need to remember the God's honest truth. Look, if you will, in verse number 25 of our text. It's the rich man's talking here. And then Abraham responds, but Abraham said, verse 25, son, remember. You know, hell's a place of remembrance this morning. That thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. You know, it did not matter how much money that they had or they didn't have. This morning it was a place where they had to remember. Did you know that rich men go to hell, and poor men go to heaven? But poor men also go to hell, and rich men also go to heaven. Listen, the determining factor was the God's honest truth. You say, what's the God's honest truth? Is that Jesus Christ is still the only way to escape the flames of hell. He's still the only way to escape the judgments of the fires of hell. Jesus said, I am the way in John 14, 6. He didn't say the church is the way. He didn't say baptism is the way. He didn't say amen, that even a Bible version is the way. Listen, you can go to hell this morning with a King James Bible in your lap. You can go to hell this morning being a member of the Bible Missionary Baptist Church. You can be go to hell this morning being a preacher's kid. You can go to hell this morning being a deacon. You can go to hell this morning being a preacher's wife. You can go to hell this morning praying prayers. You can go to hell this morning if you pray the sinner's prayer. You can go to hell this morning, amen, if you bypass Jesus, you're going to hell when you die this morning. Jesus said he's the only way.
Yes, he is.
He's the only way this morning. If you're a drunk and you quit drinking, good for you. But if you don't get saved by the grace of God, you'll go to hell sober. Amen. Quitting drinking won't help you, friend. Stopping doing drugs will not help you this morning. Trying to be a better person will not help you. Listen, hell is full of good old boys this morning. Remember. I believe with all my heart, there's people in hell that are remembering the man of God that preached to them. They're remembering the invitations. They're remembering the songs of Just As I Am, without one plea. But amen about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this morning, that rich man did not plan on going to hell. Amen. But he ended up there anyway. Remember, he didn't plan on going there. Nobody plans on going to hell. Everybody has a plan for their life. They say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And when I get older, I'm going to do it next Sunday. Or I'm going to do it tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, hey, hell is full of people that never planned on going there. But they're there this morning. Amen. They're there this morning. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Amen. D.L. Moody, years ago, was preaching in a meeting, and he had a rich man, a businessman that was there that had a business partner. And as D.L. Moody preached, that man would fall under conviction, under the Holy Ghost conviction. And time again, he heard D.L. Moody preaching. D.L. Moody would preach the messages and quote the scriptures. And one of his messages years ago was there from that passage of scripture that said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. And that rich businessman rejected the grace of God and rejected the grace of God and rejected the grace of God. Finally, D.L. Moody went to him and told him there in his life, so won't you get saved by the grace of God? He said, I can't get saved. He said, if I get saved, my business partner will make fun of me. D.L. Moody began to stay on him. And finally, one day, the rich businessman, to get away from D.L. Moody and all of his going after this rich businessman, moved to the state of Michigan and began to do business there. They said that after that rich businessman got sick and was sick unto death, and there on his deathbed, D.L. Moody went and began to talk to that rich businessman about getting saved by the grace of God. And they said that D.L. Moody convinced that man to get born again, and that man made a profession of faith there on his deathbed, and God touched the man and raised him up to life again. And he went off, and D.L. Moody said, "Hey, you made a profession of faith. You're saved now. Why don't you tell your rich business partner about the Lord? Why don't you tell him about Jesus Christ?" And he said, "Why don't you stand up in front of the church and tell him?" And he said, "I cannot do that. I cannot do that. People would make fun of me. They would make fun of me." And he began to say that he would not publicly profess what he did there on his deathbed there. And they said that after he moved away, that he got news that he fell sick unto death again. His illness came back, and D.L. Moody got on a transport train and went up there to where that rich businessman was, and said that he walked into the room where he was a dying, and he began to talk to him about his soul. And they said that D.L. Moody said, "Won't you get saved?" He said, "You never got saved before. You made a profession of faith." He said, "But it wasn't real." He said, "Why don't you make it real? Why don't you get born again?" And the rich businessman said, "I cannot get saved. I cannot get saved." D.L. Moody quoted him and said, "The Lord Jesus Christ said, 'All that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out.'" And D.L. Moody began to plead with him for his soul, for him to call out upon the name of the Lord. D.L. Moody got down on his knees and began to pray for that man. And he said, as he got down to pray for that rich businessman who had rejected the grace of God, who made a false profession of faith years past, said as he began to pray, he said, "I could not pray for this man." And he said he got up from his knees as he began to walk out. He said, "I could hear the words of that dying man as he slipped off into eternity, echoing the words that he had preached and heard D.L. Moody preach. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and I am not saved. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and I'm not saved. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and I'm not saved." I'm telling you this morning, remember the man of God who told you the truth. Yes. Remember the man of God that God sent by your way to preach the word of God to you, and you're going to reject the grace of God, or you're going to, amen, rely on a false profession of faith like that rich businessman did. I'm telling you, if somebody as big as God moves in, it'll make a difference in your life. And if there's been no change, you've never been born again by the Spirit of God this morning. You've never been saved. I mean, a whole lot of people in our churches have made professions, but they ain't never got a possession. They never got a possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, somebody's big as God moves in, there's going to be a difference. Amen. Not only are you going to be different, amen, others are going to be able to tell the difference. Remember the God's honest truth. He never, amen, planned on going to hell, but he went there anyway. And I've got illustrations I could give to you this morning about people that I knew personally. I remember I was driving back from Rosebud, Arkansas. I was driving there on the I-35, and I was in Benton, Arkansas, coming down south of Little Rock. And I was on the phone with my daddy. I was about to take the exit to go back to Hot Springs, where I lived back in 2007, 2008. And it was there, right before the exit, about a mile before the exit on that major highway, right in front of me, probably the distance from this pulpit to the sound booth in the back, there was a car in front of me that was driving. And there was a car coming on the other northbound lane. We were going south, they were going north. And she came across the center median there and came up into oncoming traffic. We were all traveling about 75 miles an hour. And it was there in front of me that those two cars collided. And I cannot tell you the sound of two cars. I wish I could describe it to you, but I can't. But it just sounds like death. Two cars hitting at 75 miles an hour head on. I slammed on my brakes to keep from hitting that wreckage as those cars, the car in front of me began to flip time and time again. I stopped and got out of my car, got off the phone with my dad, and as I began to walk down the highway, I could see blood splattered on the highway. I got down to that car that was just a mangled mess of metal, And I got down on my knees and I looked up inside there, and there was a young man in there by the name of Jeffrey Westcott. I'll never forget this. Jeffrey Westcott was hanging upside down, and there he had blood coming from one of his eyes, and his head was bleeding. He kind of caved in on one side, even some blood trickling out of his ears and his mouth. And he began to gurgle and was trying to talk and was thrashing there in that car, trying to get out in a state of shock. And I crawled up inside that car with him. I knew he was going to die from the looks of it. There was no ambulance, no car on the scene yet. It was just me and the cars that were backed up behind us as traffic began to back up for miles on that major highway. And Jeffrey Westcott was laying there. He was 28 years old in that car, and I got up in that car and I began to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know how much time that he had. I didn't know the condition of his soul. But I began to tell him about the Lord, and I began to preach to him the gospel. With his blood on my hands and on my arms, as I was nestled up inside that car, as close as I could get to him, I told him, I said, "You're about to die. You're about to leave this world. You're not going to make it. And I'm a gospel preacher. I'm a Baptist preacher." And I began to tell Jeffrey Westcott the gospel, 27 years old. And Jeffrey right there, as I began to tell him the Lord about the Lord Jesus Christ and told him to repent of his sins and receive the gospel, Jeffrey gurgled and took his last breath and died right there on I-35 in Benton, Arkansas. And I'll tell you, I went to his funeral there, and his wife was there. She was expecting their little baby, their first baby. They'd just been married for about 2 years. And I went up to that girl, and I didn't tell you the rest of the story. When I got there, he was just got home from work, and in his back seat of his car, he had a 12-pack of bottles of liquor, of beer. They were busted there in the back seats, and I could smell the smell of that beer in his car as I began to tell him the gospel. Didn't know if he was saved, didn't know if he was lost. I went to his funeral. He was a part of a Lutheran church, and that Lutheran preacher, whatever they are, got up there and began to talk about how this man was in heaven and all this kind of rubbish. But I'm telling you this morning, I believe with all my heart that young man, if he did not receive Jesus Christ, is in hell. And I'm telling you this morning, I believe with all my heart he'll remember.
Listen now.
If he can hear, I don't know if he can hear me or not. I don't know if he was conscious or not. But I'm saying amen. This morning, the formaldehyde that will fill your dead carcass this morning just may be on the shelf right now in Kannapolis. You put your shoes on this morning to come to the house of God. But listen, the mortician might be taking them off tonight. And I believe you'll remember this preacher preaching this message. Somebody needs to get born again this morning. If you don't get saved by the grace of God, you'll die and go to hell. Remember that God's honest truth. And then I'm done with this. The third thing you need in hell, not only is a reality check, and remember the God's honest truth, but look at what's happening here in hell. Hell's concerned about rescuing the perishing. You know what you need, church? You need to rescue the perishing. You know what we're all about? Trying to get sinners born again by the grace of God. Hell had a missions program.
Yeah.
Hell believes in faith promised missions. Hell was willing to send somebody from hell, Abraham's bosom,
right
back to earth to tell somebody that was lost about that awful place called hell. Look at verse number 27. Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him." He's trying to send some gospel message, send some gospel preacher to my father's house. He said, "For I have five brethren," he said, "I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." And Abraham said unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." He said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." Notice he was religious. He knew about repentance.
Yep.
He didn't say they'll do good works or they'll get baptized or they'll join the church. He knew. He knew the truth. He knew the God's honest truth. And now he's trying to rescue somebody. He said unto him, look at this. Now, this is a very interesting verse in your King James Bible. And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets," he said, if they won't listen to the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, If they will not listen to Isaiah, Jeremiah, the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, if they will not listen to a man of God preaching this book, he said they will not believe. They will not be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You see, hell has a burden for lost souls.
It does.
And hell begs for a miracle.
Yeah.
In verse 28, listen, it was not possible for anybody to leave that place and come back to earth, but he's still begging for a miracle. He's begging for a miracle, willing to never see his brothers again so that they don't have to come to that awful place of torment. But the conversation ends with a heartbreaking truth. And that truth is this. Even if we could cut a hole right down here. If I could take something and cut a hole in the middle of this auditorium and lift the lid off of hell. And we could begin to see the flames and we could smell the smoke. We could hear the cries. We can lower something down and pull somebody up from hell and let them stand here in that awful, damned state that they've been in, and they can walk up and down the aisles and through the pews and tell you, don't come to this place called hell. You know what he said? He said, that right there, if they will not listen to me this morning, you wouldn't listen to somebody if they came back from the dead. Hell begged for a miracle. But I'm telling you this morning, it ends with a heartbreaking truth. And the heartbreaking truth is this. If you can't get saved in this environment,
right,
with this book being preached,
right,
in a place where people are praying for you,
right,
and we're going to sing good hymns of the faith, yep, and we're going to beg you to come, we're going to pray that God will draw you and God will give you the courage to say yes, and you'll swallow your pride and won't worry about what anybody else is thinking. If you won't get saved in this environment, yep, you probably never will.
Well, that's right, Brother Brian.
I want to read to you an illustration, and I'm done this morning. I pulled it up here. I didn't have a printer. In the 18th century, Archibald Boyle was the leading member of an association of wild and wicked men known as the Hell Club in Glasgow, Scotland. After one night of carousing at the club's notorious annual meeting, Boyle dreamed that he was riding home on his black horse. In the darkness, someone seized the reins, shouting, "You must go with me!" As Boyle desperately tried to force the reins from the hands of the unknown guide, the horse reared up and Boyle fell down, 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 with increasing speed. He said, "Where are you taking me?" The cold voice replied, "I'm taking you to hell." The echoes of the groans and the yells of frantic revelry assaulted their ears. At the entrance to hell, Boyle saw the inmates chasing the same pleasure that they had pursued in life. And there was a lady he had known playing her favorite vulgar game, and Boyle began to relax, thinking that hell must be a pleasurable place after all. When he asked her to rest a moment and show him through the pleasures of hell, she shrieked. She said, "There is no rest in hell." She unclasped the vest of her robe and she displayed a coil of living snakes writhing about her midsection. Others revealed different forms of pain in their hearts. "Take me from this place," Boyle demanded. "By the living God, whose name I've so often outraged, I beg you, let me go." His guide replied, "Go then. But in a year and a day, we meet to part no more." At this, Boyle awoke, feeling that these last words were as letters of fire burned into his heart. Despite a resolution never to attend the Hell Club again, he soon was drawn back He found no comfort there. He grew haggard and gray under the weight of his conscience and fear of the future. He dreaded attending the club's annual meeting, but his companions forced him to attend. Every nerve of his body writhed in agony at the first sentence of the president's opening address. Gentlemen, this is a leap year. Therefore, it is a year and a day since our last annual meeting. After the meeting, Boyle mounted his horse to ride home. But the next morning, his horse was found grazing quietly by the roadside, a few yards away from the corpse of Archibald Boyle. The strange God had claimed him at the appointed time, a year and a day. And I wonder this morning, as hell makes an appointment with your soul, if you'll get on board the old ship of Zion through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. The captain's calling your name. And this morning he'll save your soul. He'll change your life. But if you reject the grace of God, and you reject the grace of God, and you reject the grace of God, this morning I believe for all eternity, you'll hear the words of this preacher and your pastor, Brother Cody Zorn, and every man of God you've ever heard as they begin to preach and begin to tell you to avoid this awful place called hell. I wonder this morning if there's any that needs to be saved. Or are you going to make the same appointment that Archibald Boyle made in a year and a day and go to that awful place of torments? You know, if you go to hell, you'll go out of there out of the will of God.
Yes, you will. Right?
You'll go there out of the will of God.
Yes, you will.
John Hanna said this, no one who is ever in hell will be able to say to God, you put me there, God. But he also said this, no one who's in heaven will ever be able to say, I put myself here.
That's right. Yeah.
I heard an illustration about a man one time who was working in the shipyard. And as people would come to him and they'd say his name, they said, what time is it? And he would say this words. He would answer this way. He said, now is the day of salvation. It is 12:21.
Amen.
You know what time it is? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You see, there's people in our churches that are more worried about what's going to happen this afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Than they are about eternity.
Yes, sir.
And I wish we could hear hell right now. But this morning, hell is compelling sinners to get saved. And so is heaven. Will you reject the grace of God and go to that place called hell for all eternity? Or will you receive it this morning? You have a free will. God's a perfect gentleman. He will not force himself upon anybody. I never have believed that, never will.
That's right.
I believe you must say yes to Jesus Christ,
sir,
and be born again. The choice is yours. Father, I pray that you bless the invitation hour. Lord, I preach what you've told me to preach. And God, I pray that you take these words that I've preached and let them be oiled vehicles to carry truth. Filled with the Holy Ghost, God, to find their way into the hearts and ears of the hearers this morning. Father, forgive us that are saved for ever forgetting where you rescued us from. God, forgive us, Lord, of not passing out tracts and not talking to people about their soul. God, for living our life for ourselves, being so selfish that we forget, Lord, the time's ticking and sinners are going to hell without God. Then, Lord, I pray, God, for that one, maybe two, maybe five, maybe I don't know how many here, Lord. But, God, I believe there's somebody here this morning that needs to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. And I pray this morning they'd make, Lord, that appointment with the Lord Jesus Christ real. God, they would meet you as their personal Lord and Savior. Get born again. God, we'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. As Brother Cody gives the invitation, God, we'll pray. Lord, and ask God to have your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're a child of God, you need to be praying right now. If you're saved in this building, you should already be praying. I wish some of you saved people come to this altar and say, Lord, help me to have a reality check this morning. Help me to start rescuing the perishing this morning. That was as good a message on hell as you're ever going to hear. I believe every word that preacher just said. I believe every word of it. God, help us from being so callous, careless, and indifferent that we just don't care if people go to hell. We're saved and we know God. We're just happy that we saved, but we're not got any burden to get anybody else saved. God, help us. We have the light. Help us to give it out. While we're standing here and heads are bowed and eyes are closed, sinner friend, you will answer for the message you just heard this morning. You'll answer for it. This preacher won't answer for it. I won't answer for it. This is on you this morning. It's on you. The ball is in your court. The message has landed in your lap. What are you going to do with it? I'm going to ask you a question while we're standing here. Say, preacher, I'll not lie. I'll be honest. I'm not sure I'm saved. Preacher, if I was to die right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity at. Preacher, that's me. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Would there be one in here this morning that would slip their hand up while nobody's looking but me and say, I'm not sure I'm saved. God bless you, sir. Would there be another that would join this one and say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know that I'm saved, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Would there be another one that would join this one and say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Lost. 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 Sir, I'm going to pray for you, but me praying for you will not save you. I wish I could pray for everybody in this building and get them saved just because I prayed for them, but that don't happen like that. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be. It's got to be something personal between you and the Lord this morning. I can't get saved for nobody. If I could, I'd get saved for everybody, but I can't. I wonder this morning if you wouldn't come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm not asking you to come join a church. I'm not asking you to come shake a preacher's hand. I'm asking you to come and receive the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that He died to keep you out of a place called hell. This morning He said, join a church never got anyone to heaven. He said, being a good person never got anyone to heaven. Being a bad person never got anybody to hell. This morning, can I tell you this? Nobody ever went to hell trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you'll come and call on Him as a sinner, He'll take you as the Savior this morning. We're going to give you an opportunity to respond. She's going to sing. You come just like you are. My deacon, Brother Skip Elkins, will meet you right down front down here. Take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Won't you come this morning? Right now. Sing, Esther. Won't you come? Just that.